Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our ASHRAE Columbus podcast number 8. I'm your host, Jay Jocko, and to my left, as always,
Rafi, KFI Engineers.
And our special guest today, Carl Schultz. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Great.
Doing great.
Beautiful day.
It is gorgeous, and we made the decision to go outside and enjoy the weather, and along with that may come sounds of mowers and
some weed whackers.
Cars, yeah. Weed whackers.
Sure.
And all that good stuff. But Carl, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, you're welcome. You know, thanks for having me.
One of the things we want to do is just feature some of our Columbus ASHRAE members and things they've accomplished and advice that they have. So why don't we just get started and have you give us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in this industry.
Okay, well, I started out as a physics major and wanted to win the Nobel Prize
in
physics. Didn't apply myself in high school, so I ended up at Ohio State University. They accepted all comers in that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found out that, you know, getting B's in physics and some of the engineers were taking honors physics and getting A's. I was like, well, probably not going to be a physicist. And plus, you know, 4 years of school was probably going to be enough, you know, and PhD and that kind of thing. So
right. My
dad was a mechanical engineer. I'm like, well, I can make a living at that. So I decided to do that.
What did your dad do?
He was in research and development.
Okay.
He got a master's in theoretical and applied mechanics from the University of Illinois after getting a bachelor's in mechanical.
Okay. Was he in our industry, though?
No.
Interesting.
No. But one time he suggested, maybe you should look at HVAC, and I was kind of offended, you know, because I'm like, you know, you're in research,
yeah,
and,
right.
So I kind of took that as a slight, but I wound up by accident in the business. Got a job with the City of Columbus in their facilities group, learned about chillers, boilers, air handlers, and things like that as an intern at Ohio State, and then I grabbed a little back in the day in the mechanical engineering lounge and all across campus, you'd have that little flyer where you tore off a phone number at the bottom,
yeah.
You know, a
yeah.
bunch of slits in there, and it was for H.A. Williams or Hawa today.
Yeah.
And it was an intern there, and, you know, you just kind of build on what you learned if you want to, like, maximize your earnings. You know, when I was in school, I got married. 10 days after I graduated from Ohio State, I had my second child.
Nice.
You know, so, you know, you just got to keep
moving.
You know, growing that salary. You know, you don't switch horses. You know, I did want to get into sales. But I thought those guys had the life. You know, they would roll into the office, you know, company car. You know, we didn't have cell phones, but those guys had car phones. You know, the little squiggly coming out the back in the 80s.
And EHF.
They would take people to lunch, play golf.
You know, start podcasts.
Like, oh,
with sales guys.
Yeah, right. Like, those guys didn't even seem to work, you know.
Right.
But as I grew in the business, I realized that they probably work, you know, harder than most anybody else
in
the business.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of hard work.
A lot of off hours and stuff, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's you know, a lot of frustration, I would imagine. So
sure.
So I think we have it pretty easy in the consulting business.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rafi, you know, we worked together one time. I don't know if I told you this, but it's like we have an easy job. We draw a couple parallel lines, and that equals like a 20-inch chilled water pipe that somebody has to lift
install,
in place.
Right.
Our drawings
weld,
are schematic in nature, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have it real easy.
The greatest CYA of all time.
And I remember being out in the field once. I worked for a smaller engineering firm. After I left J. Williams, and I got to do, you know, everything. You know, I'd be out there in the field. I remember at Miami University, and there was a pipe fitter in there, and big 10-inch pipes coming down on a riser in an existing building, and, you know, the pipes didn't line up. I'm like, oh, and he just, like, shoves this pipe over, and they line up now, and he was going to weld it. You know, he's just like, I just have a lot of respect for, you know, the people in the trades.
Yeah, as you get farther and farther, that's what I've been seeing too. As you get farther and farther in your career, you realize, oh, this actually has to work, you know. Yeah.
And then, you know, I saw the air balance report or the water balance report as kind of like a report card for the consulting engineer. You know, and I found out pretty early that those mushroom fans didn't really seem to work. You know, as I, you know, so they always came up short no matter what, you know. So so I would always, like, if I had to use one, I would double the airflow, you know.
Yeah,
and,
sure,
and then
sure.
I might get what I need at the end. So, because they were never installed with, you know, the perfect conditions that they test them at in the lab at the factory, you know.
Yeah.
With the eight diameters or something straight run, you know, into a roof.
Sure.
Fan, never going to happen.
So how many years was that span to where you started to be able to apply the knowledge that you learned in the designs that you were doing?
I would say it took me a couple years. You know, when I was an intern, I would be looking at things. You know, I remember crawling around crawl space at Scioto Country Club looking at fan coils, and I didn't know what was the inlet and what was the outlet of the fan coil.
Yeah.
Unit. And I had no idea what I was doing. And then, you know, one day it clicked, and I was at an ASHRAE, well, it was actually the AHR, you know, show.
Yeah.
What everyone says is ASHRAE is actually the AHR show.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I remember looking into the equipment, it was just clicking. I knew what this was. I knew what that was. I knew what this did. I knew what that did. I knew what the inlet, the outlet, you know. So I'm an intuitive thinker. And so I don't get from A to B as quick as some linear thinkers, but my mind builds this model. And once the model's in place, I feel like I can go to D to F to Z to G.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, you know. So that's, it just kind of clicked. The light bulb came on. But it took a couple of years.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You know,
totally.
Careers and going down to AHR and doing the same thing. Like, yes,
finally,
I know what that is.
Yeah. So when it comes to ASHRAE and AHR, I would really encourage people at all levels to get out there, and you really have to fight, even if your employer is seen as generous and, you know, forward thinking, and you still have to go to your supervisors and fight for yourself.
Boy, yeah.
You know, even at my age, or totally. I look at, you know, all the stuff I've done, I still have to, like, get on my knees and beg.
Yeah.
You know, everybody. You know, can I get to ASHRAE this year? I'm on a committee. I'm going to do, you know, whatever. You know, even to speak at ASHRAE, you jump through some hoops. I spoke at Tampa a couple summers ago. But, you know, it's just the way the business is. It has to be that way.
Or, I saw you speak at Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, the Midwest Healthcare Conference.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of fun. Like I mentioned, my father was research and development. He presented papers. You know, he was involved in, you know, code making for boilers and pressure vessels and things like that. You know, so that's probably where that came from, the physicist in me that never became, to share knowledge. I remember going to a biocontainment conference in Atlanta. They had people, these people from the former Soviet Union, like there, you know, behind some glass boxes, you know, having translators and stuff. But, well, people were there to learn how to do research on animals, infectious diseases. How to contain it, it was kind of a early development, you know, right after kind of 9/11, there was a lot of research money put into biocontainment, research, and, you know, no one wanted to talk to me. You know, they had like a trade show, they had booths, all the practitioners, you know, there weren't a lot of them that were doing it, the architects and engineers, but they would see that I was from an AE firm and they didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I had questions at the end of the conference, and they didn't read my questions. They just read the softball ones from clients. And it was all about marketing. So I got very mad. And I was like, you know what, this isn't right. You know, so I learned everything I could about biocontainment, wastewater decontamination, you know, everything there was to know about it. And I wrote paper after, you know, article after article after article. I spoke at conferences on it. I blew the lid off of it. This is how you do it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so because, you know, to me, that's, I know you have to have secrets, trade secrets.
Yeah,
you gotta protect
I stole that term from you. This is the move. This is how you do it. Yeah. Yeah. I remember sitting in your office sometimes when I was, 25 years old and sitting there and you're, hey, look, this is the way you do it. All right. Check this out. I'm like, that's very efficient. I love it.
You know, another thing I did, I was on the board of building standards for Ohio, the couple different governors. I got appointed to that. It was a very, very satisfying part of my career. It was, I think we had some monthly meetings or something like that. And occasionally we had some like code committee meetings. So I got to see, you know, how we took the model code, the ICC codes, and turn it into the Ohio code. And we also had jurisdiction over building officials and inspectors and things like that. But, what I want to say to the practitioners, designers is like, you know, we often get frustrated by codes. But just think, you know, the code, you wouldn't have a job if we didn't have these massive codes. It sounds
totally
horrible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's true. We have to, like, wade through it. We have to interpret it. We have to make sure the building, if we didn't have codes, it would be the Wild West. And,
well,
you wouldn't need consulting engineers or architects.
I mean, I've seen it more and more as a backbone that I can fall back on. Hey, what? Why do I need a brand new air handler for this project in the budget? It's not in the budget. Well, look at the code. Look at it. This is what we're designing around. So this is what we got to do, man.
Do you have a code that you put in there that you can say, yeah, I was the reason for 92.1/28. That was mine.
Well, in the Ohio code, there one thing is like, it always came down to, there's some things in the energy code that if you implement it everywhere, it could have a detrimental effect on the health of a building occupant. So like, in the energy code is like, oh, we want to shut off the circulation pumps for the domestic hot water. Well, you don't want to do that, especially like in a healthcare environment.
Yep.
Legionella. So I had that stricken out of the Ohio code. You know, there were some other things like they wanted, switch off half the duplex outlets in a building.
I design hospitals just like you do. And one thing that I think that has not really been captured in any of the codes is the emergency helicopters coming in, landing on top of a building, right? The washdown from that, that throws everything out, right? Yeah. You've got 25,000 pounds or some insane number right out there that is going into, oh, well, I'm rejecting the cooling tower is going off to the right here. Well, what happens when the helicopter lands? Yeah. That's a whole different world there.
And there's a lot of particulates in that, too. So they get trapped in the filter and they keep off gassing over time.
Yeah.
Like one thing I was thinking of the other day, I was like, we have all this building envelope, performance criteria.
Sure.
R30 on the roof, R20 in the walls.
Yeah.
But now we have a rooftop unit that's burning natural gas. I don't know what the burner's operating at, 140F. Yep. We don't have anything that says what the wall thickness and R value of that cabinet should be.
Well, Jay, I bet can you speak on that.
Yeah, R13 plus is always
better. Yeah, but your building's R20.
Yeah,
or something like that.
True.
So you do an IR gun of the roof, and you got this glowing objects all over the roof. We're giving away all this heat before it even gets in the building.
Right.
Same with the ductwork.
So you're talking about some capturing that heat, or
why don't we insulate it more?
Yeah.
I
agree.
We have R12 for ductwork on the roof. It's like, why isn't it more like R20 or 30, like the building board?
Yeah. See, and I think I've come into the ideology of design where I'm assuming an R10 for roof, right? Because I know everything can turn down. I've got ECM or VFDs on all fans. I've got control valves on the hydronic side. A little over design. I'm all right with it, right? So I'm putting a little bit more capacity into my units because there's always going to be an expansion on that building. There's always going to be something where, sure, the load is only calling for 22,000 CFM. I'm giving them a 30,000 CFM unit.
Yeah. Now, isn't there something? Isn't there something in the end? I haven't thought over some.
Yeah.
Currently, a lot of certain. Yeah.
There is. Well, it's horsepower. Yeah. It's the comp check thing. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, how about talking about the, like, the structure of, like, design firm? You have your AE firm, you have your architecture, you have MEP, you have your civil firms, you have everyone, they try to do it all. You know.
So on that note, if you're looking at someone who's coming into the field right now, so someone who's just getting started or maybe they're on the fence whether or not they want to pursue a career in HVAC and mechanical engineering, what advice would you give them starting their career now, been through all of that?
Well, you know, I'd like to, you know, help them erase doubt in, you know, in this industry. You know, it's, there's a lot, you know, there's, unless you get into some, you know, like retail design establishment kind of thing, you know, no two jobs are alike. There's a lot of variety. You shouldn't have to worry about offshoring your job, you know, getting it offshore, although there's management out there that keeps pushing and trying
totally.
For that. But,
yep.
but really, those people yep. are there, you know, this is so code-driven. They can't possibly know what's going on in this locality or that locality from Mumbai to figure out
right.
what needs to be done. There's just no way.
And the players that are playing the game in this environment, right? Like, you know, I need something specific. Yeah. So it's like,
So, you know, so I think there's, you know, solid opportunities. And if your city has more than 100,000 people, there's probably somebody practicing that in that city. So you can move around. Like my father, there was only one other place in the country where he could work that did what he did. And he did an interview down there in Tampa once, and then not that long after they closed their shop.
Oh,
so,
no
I mean,
way.
Basically, there's like, it was so specialized. But this, you could do anywhere.
I mean, how often are you in a building, right? 95% of your life, you're probably in a building.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't sound necessarily glamorous and exciting sometimes. If, you know, because I wanted to, after the Nobel Prize dream, I thought, well, maybe I would get into robotics. You know, the Japanese were pounding us hard in the manufacturing sector in the 80s and robotics, you know, let's, you know, help the revival of American manufacturing, so, you know, something like that. That was the thought process.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is cool, you know, robotics, you know.
Yeah.
Buildings don't quite seem sometimes to get the same excitement level, but some pretty exciting building.
Oh
there.
My gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, ORs
I,
right
I do
now
want to hear like
all robotic. So.
From your perspective, whether one you did or one you've seen, what is a really exciting project that we should be excited about?
The most exciting project that I ever worked on was at, I don't want to get into too much of the specifics, but it was west of here.
Classified?
there were some classified parts, I'm sure. But it was a, you know, biocontainment lab in that realm, you know, the ventilation system is almost like a life safety system.
Correct.
You
right.
know? And the wastewater decontamination system, you know, helps, you know, keep everything inside, you know, and, you know, because it gets then discharged to the sanitary system.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have anthrax or. Bubonic plague going down this.
Yeah. So Carl, what else would you like to share with those who are listening, with the archives for ASHRAE, Columbus Podcast? What is it that you would not want to leave here without getting off your chest?
How about, you know, shout out to our brothers and sisters at ASPE, Plumbing Engineers.
Yeah.
You know, we're intertwined. You might sell HVAC plumbing. I don't know. You know, but so if you are an ASHRAE member and you do HVAC, don't be afraid to learn a little bit about plumbing.
Totally.
You know, sometimes, you know, plumbers typically need our help, you know, because they have to work on more projects than we do because their fee, they get a smaller percent of the job. They have to work on more jobs. So we have to keep them informed of deadlines and things because, you know, they're just running around like crazy a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, you know, we could help them with, some of the engineering principles with, you know, hydronics and pressure and flow and things like that.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to get involved and ask and learn about that.
Well, great, Carl. And, you know, I really appreciate your time. You have a wealth of experience, and we'd love to have you back on.
Sure.
Part two to continue this conversation. And I think, you know, after we've done some intros, Rafi and I were going to maybe do some more targeted discussions on the Columbus ASHRAE podcast. Yeah, so maybe we can pick something that, the healthcare stuff, we can really dive into some of the knowledge that I know you both have to unpack for our audience. So,
yeah.
That is fun. Thank you for coming, and thanks for having me for being here. And
thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks, guys.